Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I got my fancy backdrop here. Don Moeller's teaching me how to work my virtual background because we're not sitting at State Fair right now eating chicken and waffles and the shrimp and grits and all the things I want to be doing or over at El Guapo, bellied up to the bar, working on a tamale. But we'll get back to that. And we're going to get back to downtown and Fadley's, even though they're moving out to Catonsville as well. You can order those crab cakes. You can curbside them. The seafood is there. I brought some tilapia home, fried it up in a pan, as well as some hake fish. You could do that at Fadley's. Don't forget our friends at Moeller and Gary Realty. Jeff Moeller is going to be listing my condo very, very soon. And we are looking forward to the real estate season. Another great conversation with him next week about a very, very busy market right now. Don, it's been a busy market here this week as we've partnered up with the Maryland Hospital Association, as well as our friends at KO, to really shed some light on what's going on here with hospitals and vaccines and COVID and local. And I know our next guest and series of guests are one is very near and dear to your heart, out running Baltimore County right now, right? Your old job.
We've had some incredible guests as we dive into this whole COVID and vaccine issue with the help of the Maryland Hospital Association. Delighted to have my county executive, John Oshevsky Jr., join us today, as well as Donna Jacobs from the University of Maryland Medical System, two folks that are really right in the middle of making this happen right now. So welcome, everybody, to Baltimore Positive.
Pleasure to be here.
Always a pleasure to be with you, gentlemen.
Mr. Exec, let's start with you because, my goodness, you've been running as fast as you can out there to get shots in the arms. Governor came out, gave you a shout-out, basically said Timonium was the best-run site in the state. I can attest to that because of my age, having been through the Timonium site. Pretty remarkable what you guys have done out there. Maybe walk us through how that came about. And I know you're proud of your folks.
Yeah, well, thanks, Don. I really appreciate the opportunity. We are so proud of the work of our health department, Dr. Branch and team. Actually, there was a recent article today about Terry Sapp, who's leading the logistics on the ground, and how his experience as a roadie for Twisted Sister helped equip him in the idea of logistics. So it's always sort of funny how these things work out.
Well, I saw that. I thought Nestor would be all over. I thought Nestor's screaming. He's going to scream at me. Get him on here. Get him on here.
It's a great story. But, you know, look, I mean, we are consistently leading the states in terms of number of doses administered. It's because of our health department doing about half of those doses in places like Timonium. We have mass vac sites at the state fairgrounds in Randallstown on the west side, at CCBC Essex on the east side. We are partnering with Uber to give people who don't have access to transportation access to our sites. We have a plan for homebound individuals. They can call 311 to go in and find them. But it's not just the work that we're doing. It's also the partnerships with our hospitals like Donna and all of our hospital networks across Baltimore County. We have weekly calls where we're partnering, we're talking with them. That's why Baltimore County is leading. And it's why, as you said, the governor is saying the county in general, and especially our mass vac site, he called it a Ferrari without enough gas. And so getting the doses is the challenge. What we're seeing, and I'm sure Donna will sort of affirm this, there is so much demand for very limited supply even now. We're hopeful with a new authorization for Johnson & Johnson, it becomes another game changer. But our challenge has been just getting our hands on doses. We're very effective at getting them out. We just don't have enough.
Donna, for you on the hospital side of things, and I guess logistics and planning these things and planning appointments, you've been doing that in hospital systems forever. But this sort of overload, but more than that, not really knowing supply and demand. We know the demand's there, but the supply. Give us some of your challenges. And first things, welcome in and good day to you as well.
Well, so there are myriad challenges, as the county executive has said. We know we have people in community who are ready and willing and wanting to get this vaccine, and they meet all of the eligibility criteria that the state has set forward, but they may have barriers in their communities that are not allowing them to get appointments. Some are seniors, which certainly the county executive mentioned. They're not used to going online to register for anything. Some are people in underserved communities that do not have access to the web. And if you look and think about the black butterfly that demarcates Baltimore, and I'm sure you all are familiar with that, there are communities that are poorly served by that. So from UMS, and we do have a hospital in Baltimore County, St. Joseph's, but for our Baltimore City hospitals, we are deploying people into the community who can identify folks by working with local partners, be they churches or community-based organizations or others, that we know would like to have the vaccine but have barriers to being able to get those appointments. So we are spending great time and energy trying to really get into that community to help. There are waiting lists. We have waiting lists. We are partnering with Hopkins and the state to run the first MaxVax Center at the Baltimore Convention Center, the Field Hospital. There are waiting lists there. We just opened, we just opened the M&T Stadium together with the state last week. But the county executive is right. There isn't enough vaccine yet. And
Donna Jacobs joining us from UMS, as well as former Baltimore County Executive Don Mohler and current Baltimore County Executive Johnny Ushesky. Johnny, when you talk about this firing this engine up but not having enough vaccine right now, give me and we've had several of your counterparts at county executives on, but I have not asked this question. How does this come to your desk and Dr. Branch's desk and the hospital's desk? Where does this come from federally and then, let's say, to Larry or the people at the state government to find out on a daily, weekly basis what you should be preparing for?
It's been hard, to be honest with you. Local government has been the end of the supply chain. So federal government contracts with the suppliers, ships to the states. The states then determine what comes to local government. For a long time, it had been week to week where it was, these are the doses you're getting, go forth and distribute. The good news is, as we were talking about, we could do upwards of 1,000 doses an hour just at our Timonium site, not talking about all the other efforts. But limited supply is a real problem. Not having enough planning has been a real problem. We now have a several week look ahead from the state, but our doses are still very limited. What I can say too is, in addition to limited supply, we're also seeing stories across the country about disparities in distribution. And we certainly have some of those challenges here in the county, but we're really trying to step up because we've seen over 300,000 people, for example, and this gets to Donna's point about access to things like registries. We've seen that Black and Latinx residents are significantly underrepresented on our registry compared to the overall population. And so, you know, when we think about how Black and brown communities have been disproportionately, you know, impacted by the virus nationwide, and there are underlying health disparities, making sure that we have ways to pull these communities in is really important. So, you know, we're doing our best. We're very proud of the work that we're doing. We're looking at things like additional outreach campaigns. We've brought pastors to Randallstown to talk to their congregations and share messages with them. We're looking at bringing validators in, but it's a challenge both in terms of being at the end of that supply line, not having great look aheads, and then also trying to meet those health disparity challenges, both that are underlying, but also in the distribution of the vaccine. Again, it goes back to just being innovative. It's the letting people call 311 to get registered. It's, you know, creating that partnership with Uber where we will pay for you to get to a MaxVax site. Creating, you know, more pop-up as we have more doses, we'll go further into the community. We're trying to meet the need, but we have more to do.
Mr. Exec, I wonder if you could talk for a minute. I want to go back to Timonium because I'm assuming this is being replicated at your other site, CCBC. When I say this, I'm talking about the attitude. What Linda and I were struck by, and I can tell you that I'm beyond anecdotal now. I've talked to enough folks. I've sent you some copies of texts that I've received from people. It's way past anecdotal that people are walking out of there going, my goodness, government is working. I mean, your people are delightful, whether they're the folks meeting someone in the parking lot with a golf cart who can't get and make the walk all the way in, to the people who sign you in, to the people who keep you in the lines, to the people who give you the shot in the arm, to the people who help you make the second appointment. I think I heard Dr. Branch describe it as, we wanted to create the Disney experience. And it certainly seems to me that your staff has done that.
Well, it's the Disney experience with military precision. The only thing we haven't done yet, we don't have all the singing and dancing. I think we're working on that. We're trying to bring in some partners to teach us some line routine.
I am unavailable to sing. It's a Small World.
Come on, Nestor. Come on.
Doc could put Doc could be more than willing to put something together, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, but look, it's golf carts for seniors. It's having a pleasant attitude. It's making people feel welcome. It's being efficient so that...
Well, I'm already afraid of it, right? I mean, you're giving me a shot. I don't want to come, kind of, sort of, right? Like, a little bit, right?
Well, right. We're already battling, you know, the letting people know that this is safe, it's effective, it will help us get back to some sense of normalcy. We've had some great Black History Month conversations with Dr. Hrabowski from UMBC, for example, and just the importance of knowing that another great UMBC alum, African-American, created the vaccine. There's a lot of, you know, I used to represent Turner Station and the legacy of Henrietta Lacks and some of the reluctancy there, but getting the message out, public health is about going to where people are, meeting them where they are, making them feel welcomed and, you know, be part of it. So, you know, we really think that, you know, we've got it down right. I mentioned Terry earlier, our roadie, it's sort of like a box office and a concert, not too fast, not too slow, the right tempo, get through, feel good about it, and then go tell your friends.
Now, really an amazing experience. And Donna, jumping back, I'm glad I think we've addressed some of your technical issues here. It's the world of Zoom. It's the world we all live in. So we everybody understands. Go back to us to this disparity issue, because this is not unique to Maryland. I mean, this is an issue that's being faced by the Biden administration. It's under a microscope. Tell us the role that the University of Maryland Medical System, that Dr. Suntha wants you all to be playing in this, and how you're going to hold yourself accountable.
Dr. Suntha has been very clear with all of leadership in our organization from the beginning that this issue is a priority, that what we are seeing with COVID-19 is really, unfortunately, a manifestation of inequities in healthcare that have existed for a long time. And it is very apparent right now for several reasons. We are coming off of a very difficult summer last year where we all witnessed some very unfortunate circumstances related to inequities in health and just society in general. And it made us more aware of this issue. But also, if you think about the numbers of people who have been impacted, but we know 500,000 people have died from COVID-19 in a short period of time. So there's an awareness about these numbers, more so perhaps than ever. And perhaps this is the greatest health disparity and health problem that we've had in our history. But on top of that, we know, and you're right, it's not just Baltimore or metropolitan Baltimore. These are problems that we're seeing all across the country. And you can think about some key cities like Philly and DC, where the population, the Black population is about 40%, and only 20% are being vaccinated. You can think about states like Texas and California, where the Latino and Latina population is nearly 40%, and only half are being vaccinated. And Dr. Suntha said to us, we have to focus on this issue, and it would be a real failure if we were not able to reach out into our communities and to bring the people in who are most impacted. Black and brown people are 3 to 4 times more likely to contract the disease, suffer severe adverse consequences, and twice as likely to die. And so we really have to reach folks. If we don't, we are not going to end COVID. You know, we're all in the same storm, I heard someone say. We may be in different boats, but we're in the same storm. So we have to address this together, and we have to focus on it. And so for us, we're doing that. There'll be an announcement later today, if it isn't out already, about some of the work and the refocusing that we're doing at the convention center to really target communities that have been underserved and where the vaccine numbers are lagging, to make them a high priority and to schedule as many of those appointments for that community through the kinds of partnerships that I spoke about before
and get as many people scheduled there as is possible.
Don, well, it is amazing you mentioned the convention center, because from where I live, and most folks know this is a real shot that I take from where I live, I literally can look out the window every morning at 7 a.m., orange cones, two sides set up. Part of it was testing, and then there's the vaccine lately, the last couple of weeks. For the hospital and the system and UMS and everything you're trying to do, run me through a couple of things just in the last couple of weeks that may have changed in regard to, first things first, we have vaccine, right? So this wasn't something we were even doing 90 days ago. But in ramping this up, give us some of the concerns that would make this better and more equitable. And Don mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we were laughing a little bit about bookmobiles as kids, but saying, let's turn those bookmobiles into vaccine mobiles and take it out into the community. Clearly, my wife's walking over to the stadium. We could go to the convention center. We're in a position to do that. But so many people from a transportation standpoint, but bringing it to them instead of them coming to it.
Right. And I think that as time goes on, and some hospitals have already started moving into the community in a mobile vaccine way, putting that vaccine in a van and taking it to senior centers or to locations where you can find multiple people. That is one issue. We've been focused on getting these mass vac sites open, the convention center and the M&T Stadium, which, as I mentioned, has just started. But it's a matter of just finding people. The convention center has moved through all of the phases. The testing started there. The monoclonal antibodies and other therapeutics started there, and now we're at the max vax stage. We will continue. It takes everybody, right? It takes the federal government helping to get us the vaccine. It takes the state. They've been involved. It takes the city and local jurisdictions, Baltimore County, Baltimore City, everybody rowing in one direction. And I believe we're there at that point. Everyone in healthcare is understanding the magnitude of this problem. And I do believe that as we get more vaccine, you'll see more collaboration amongst all of those entities moving forward to get vaccines to people. And you mentioned the Biden administration, the Hogan administration, everyone has an equity task force now geared to this same message. How, in a robust way, do we get to our communities? How do we get vaccine into the community? Do we use community health centers, federally qualified health centers, pharmacy, and others? So, big shining light on these issues, and it's great.
Mr. Exec, picking up on some of these themes, I know you get daily, if not hourly, briefings. I know how data-driven you are in Baltimore County. When you look out, and I know it's hard to predict, but I pick on someone like Nestor. He's younger. You know, like yourself, you're younger, folks in your age bracket. When are you hopeful that the spigot will be turned on and people who want a shot will be able to get a shot without having to fight through five or six? I mean, I know people who were getting migraines trying to navigate five or six websites a day.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a little bit like, a confusing network, because you do have health providers, county health departments, pharmacies, the mass vaccine. It has, I know we're sort of addressing some of those issues now, and initially it had been challenging. I actually think the president is right in that, you know, it feels like we're moving towards this summer will be a time when, if you want one, you will be able to get one. So I think it's sort of just reinforcing, you know, please be patient. We are aggressively working through this. We are seeing numbers come down. The Johnson & Johnson approval is huge. We're hopeful with seasonality in the summer, people continuing to practice social distancing and wear their masks, even as they are getting vaccinated, will allow us the sort of space to get the rest of the, you know, production is ramping up on Pfizer and Moderna. So we're going to see more of those in the weeks and months ahead. We're going to see Johnson & Johnson come on the market, and that production will ramp up. So I truly think that even people who are in the lower categories will, at some point this summer, I'd be reluctant to put an actual date or month on that. But it feels like we're moving in that direction. We're starting to see the logjam break up a little bit with our higher categories. Don, I don't know if you have a different perspective, but it feels like some sense of normalcy is in sight. But it that should not give us like cause to let all of our guard down. In fact, it should make us be all the more cautious so that we can actually get through it and return to normal faster.
Well, you better give me two shots before you open Colgate Elementary over there, right? When you're over there cutting the tape, right? We're all going to have to be safe on the east side, right?
That's right.
You know, he can't come on without talking about Colgate Elementary.
Donnie, he's rebuilding ahead, my Donna. Elementary school.
It's amazing.
My old
we'll do it coming up like a
rising phoenix in Dundalk. Is what
after you get back to State Fair or Fadley's or El Guapo for your show, we'll have to do a on-site show at Colgate Elementary School once the doors
open. There you go.
We'll bring back the old Ruggiero's crab cake. How about that? You like that, Johnny? I brought that for you.
It does feel like the Calvary is coming in some ways. When we think about game changer is a word people are using with this latest vaccine and the amount of vaccine that will be on the street, if you will. I do think you're right. I think it is sometime this summer. Early projections now is could be as early as late July, which would be fantastic. But that does require those of us who have been vaccinated, who are soon to be vaccinated, to continue to do the same kinds of things that have helped us bring these numbers down to a point where they are now. Still masking, still keeping your social distance, still being cautious about where you go and what you do so that we don't have an unfortunate rise in the numbers that we don't expect while we're trying to get folks vaccinated.
Go ahead, Donna, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, it just requires a little bit of patience and a little bit more vigilance on people's part to get us where we need to be.
You both have been patient and very gracious with your time. Mr. Exec, before we let you run, as this airs, teachers are beginning to go back across the state, across the county. We saw buses here recently, actually on the streets. It felt good in a lot of ways, felt a little scary in others. Yeah. Do you have any sense of where we are in Baltimore County in terms of getting our teachers vaccinated?
We're still trying to peel some of that back. This gets back to some of the data that's not entirely being shared. I guess this is one of the earlier questions you and Nestor asked. Like, we don't have a full picture. So, for example, we don't have the breakdowns of, how the pharmacies are allocating. The hospitals, we get that alignment, but they have they're a large system. They have further breakdowns. So we're trying to work with BCPS to get a sense of between what we're doing and where others might be getting their doses, how many are. But what I can tell you is, I worked with Superintendent Salmon to get Governor Hogan to move teachers up to that 1B. They were in 1C. We've put over $11.5 million of additional money from Baltimore County into PPE and air filtrations and other things to keep our kids safe and our teachers safe. We know the teachers are getting them. We hold back doses specifically for teachers every week in Baltimore County. But in addition to having thousands of educators who need doses, we still have tens of thousands of people who are over 75 in the 1A, first responders, healthcare workers. So we're really trying to emphasize our 1A and 1B, which gets back to for folks who are in 1C, who are over 65, for folks who are in the category.
We got a freeze on Johnny. Go ahead, John. You froze up on us out there at the county.
Go ahead. We lost that last point, gang.
Just that we are doing the very best we can to get our teachers through, just as we're trying to get our seniors and our first responders through. We just don't have the doses. It goes back to the underlying problem. And, we want to do them all, but we're doing the best that we can with the limited supply. But again, I think teachers and those in 1B and 1A and even in 1C, we're going to see it open up in the weeks and months ahead. So, again, we're going to try to make sure that the mask wearing and the ventilation and the distancing is happening, because we know that if you follow those procedures, we very, very significantly cut down on the risk. So we're pushing that even as we're also pushing for vaccinations. But I want to just thank our teachers for the great job that they're doing in very difficult circumstances, both online and in person.
Donna, we're sandwiched between two school teachers here, you and I. So, I knew they'd be taking care of the school teachers, right?
Exactly.
Well, we appreciate your time. Donna, thanks for coming on from UMS and on behalf of everybody and Dr. Suntha, we appreciate him supporting us. Johnny, as always, keeping us safe out there in Baltimore County. And I do hope we get the little feet on the street here with Nancy sometime coming in the spring. I'm trying to make plans of the next time I'm going to be out and about in the county. And I hope that that's soon for all of us.
Same as well, guys. Thank you.
And thank you.
Safe, everybody. Thanks.
Stay safe, everybody.
A big appreciation for our friends at KO, as well as the Maryland Hospital Association, for bringing forth a whole bunch of information, a whole bunch of great guests, so that we can be better informed as we move safely toward hopefully the end of COVID, the beginning of this vaccination process, and maybe some football and baseball games and a concert, a beer at Merriweather before it's all over with. On behalf of former Baltimore County Executive Don Moeller, I am Nestor Aparicio. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.